Hey, hey, now welcome, welcome, welcome. You are listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. And we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Well, now here we are on the Millionaires Roundtable, and you know we are about to have a discussion about one of my favorite topics. You know, you remember the real deal in real estate, wealth in real estate. Well, guess what? Today, my friends at JP Morgan Chase are here to talk about buying your first home. And I am so very excited to welcome a very special guest. But you know, before I welcome the guest, I just want to say this. Buying a home is on many of our lists of life goals because owning a home is a true sign of financial independence. However, it's not always easy, especially in today's times, especially if this is your first time navigating the process. From understanding the importance of mortgage pre-qualification to navigating interest rates, aspiring homeowners may feel intimidated by the complexity of the home buying process. But guess what? You can do it. I know you can. That's why I am very, very happy to have Kimberly McLeod, Community Home Lending Advisor at Chase, on the show to answer some of the most common mortgage questions and to demystify the process for prospective home buyers. Welcome to the roundtable, Kimberly McLeod. Welcome.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it, Dr.
Lynn. Yes, so happy to have you here. Well, let's get right to it. First of all, everybody get pen and paper because I'm telling you, you're going to have something to write that you're going to forget and you're going to say, now, what did they say? So I want you to write it down. I want you to tell everybody to listen right now because this is the season. So Kimberly, tell us a little bit about your role at Chase and why you are excited to talk about homeownership today.
I'm a community home lending advisor here at Chase, and I work with home buyers in underserved communities to achieve their home ownership dreams. My team works directly with the community members to provide information and resources needed to navigate the home buying process with confidence. And I'm here today to answer some of the most common mortgage questions and hopefully bring some of that confidence to your listeners.
All right. Well, let's dive right into it. What is the first thing you should do if you're thinking about buying a home?
The first and foremost, take the time to consider what your current needs are and what your needs may be in the future. Then make a list of things you need and want in your home. Having a clear understanding of your housing needs helps you identify the most important things to look for when you're viewing home, right? And one of the most important things is knowing the true cost of your new home. Your true housing cost includes more than just your mortgage payment. So you also need to add in the cost of any property taxes, and homeowner's insurance. In addition to your monthly payment, you should also consider the cost of home maintenance, such as taking care of the lawn and the yard or snow removal, right? Maintaining appliances, unplanned replacements or repairs, and any homeowner's association fees if that's applicable. Don't forget to consider the utility costs like electric and gas, water and sewer, which could also increase your monthly costs. So those are some of the things that I would say first. You want to pinpoint those things and actually plan for what that max housing expense is that you want to pay and know exactly what you want and what you need in your home.
Let's talk about real estate, real estate, real estate.
Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You've seen me on Good Morning America, The Breakfast Club, and WVON. I'm so excited about sharing with you the Home Buyers Club. It's time for you to get the home of your dreams. No credit, no problem. Low credit, no problem. No down payment, no problem. I am excited about you getting a piece of the American dream. Join the Home Buyers Club today. If you're just joining us, we're speaking with Kimberly McLeod from Chase about buying our first home. So Kimberly, how do we even start saving for a purchase like this?
Don't wait until you found a home that you want to buy first. Start saving now. You can start by setting up an automatic transfer from your savings account from each of your paycheck, right? You can also use your savings account to set aside bonuses you earn at work or tax refunds. Then look at areas where you're currently spending your money and look for areas that you can actually cut costs. For example, packing a lunch lunch to bring to work can cut down on the money you spend every month on food, right? Building your savings account now is important because there are many expenses you'll need to pay for throughout the home buying process. This includes deposits, home inspections, appraisals, down payment, and closing costs. So I would say start saving now and look for ways of cutting costs.
All right, all right. Well, one thing that I know is this. A lot of people struggle with choosing a mortgage. What advice do you have for our listeners for choosing a mortgage?
When you're preparing to buy a home, you need to be smart with your credit. Lenders use your credit score as a key factor to determine whether or not to approve you. They also use it to determine the interest rate and loan terms you'll approve for, right? So while many people think a conventional loan is their only option for buying a house, you have several different mortgage loan options available to you. Each mortgage loan option has its pros and cons. Consider working with a home lending advisor to find the home lending option that best fits your unique circumstances. A great way to start is to get pre-qualified for a loan before even looking for a house. You can do this by having a simple conversation with your mortgage lender about your income, credit, employment, and asset information. Getting pre-qualified for a mortgage loan can help narrow your search because you'll already know how much house you can afford.
Hi, I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America, The Steve Harvey Show, or Get Up Mornings with Erica Campbell. Guess what? Did you know you can get your money back if you hire your kids? You can get your money back if you go out to eat? You can get your money back if you go on a vacation? Well, guess what? In my book, Get Your Money Back, Tax Deductions You Never Know About, I'm going to teach you how you can get your money back with your home-based business legally, ethically, and all with the permission of the IRS. Just go to AskLynn.org. If you're just tuning in, we're speaking with Kimberly McLeod from Chase about the home buying process. Another common question we hear is about down payments. What are down payments? What is the down payment, I should say? And how much down payment is needed when buying a home?
Great question. When purchasing a home and getting a loan, the down payment is the money you pay up front. This amount goes towards the total principal, which lowers the amount of your mortgage. Putting a higher down payment amount may lower your interest rate and build equity in your home faster. I know many people view the down payment as a major barrier to buying a home. That's why it's important to check if you or the home you're planning to buy may qualify for a local, state, or national home buyer assistance program. These programs may be able to help with some or all of your down payment. You can work with your lender to identify appropriate programs. They can also assist you with the application process.
Oh my goodness. This is just so wonderful. So wonderful. My favorite topic. You know, Chase has been so good to us with the home buying mission. Kimberly, this has been invaluable. Is there anything else you want to share?
Yes. You don't need to do any of this alone. My team at Chase is excited to make your homeownership dreams a reality. Visit chase.com/personal/mortgage to learn more.
Cannot wait to have you back again. Thank you so much, Kimberly McLeod. Hey, everybody. It's time to buy a home. If you need help, you know where to go. Go right to Chase. Kimberly, I can't wait to have you back here on the roundtable.
Thank you so much.
I can't wait to have you back on the show.
I can't wait to come back, Dr. Lynn.
Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time, and that means you. Yes, the harvest is here. The time is now. It is our season to win, and as I said, I am a living testimony. So, homes and loans, what's going on? I feel like talking about singing and shouting Marvin Gaye right now. What is going on? Well, let me tell you what's going on. Yes, my student loan was forgiven. And I said the amount was $48,000 when I consolidated the student loan in the year 2000. I had just filed bankruptcy in 1999. I filed a Chapter 13. I paid it off. Okay, now I filed bankruptcy later. I'll talk about that later and tell you, you know, the economic crash of 2008, the housing bubble burst and all those other things. But 2000 consolidated the student loan, $48,000 is what I consolidated. I believe the loan was less than that. But by that time, now mind you, I finished school in the 90s, okay? So by the year 2000, that student loan had accrued some interest. So I consolidated $48,000. You want to know what they forgave? My student loan that was just forgiven with capitalized interest over the past 23 years was $132,000. Now, I need to just take a sip of this coffee right here on that. Okay? $132,000. So let's start there. Now, here's my disclaimer for all of the debt-free gurus. Everybody who said, don't wait on the student loans. They're never going to be forgiven. Pay off your debt. Become debt-free. Many of my colleagues who I respect paid their student loans off. I remember getting into a deep conversation. I'm not going to say it was an argument, but it was a deep conversation. And what I love is that we were able to respect each other's differences of opinion and move forward with what we believed worked for us individually. Several of my colleagues have preached and taught, pay off your student loans. Don't wait. I didn't do that. I did not do that. Now, as I shared, I never defaulted. So let me just give you one tip about your student loan. It is only a death sentence if you allow depression, death and depression. If you allow depression to put you in a situation where you ignore the student loan, that's the only reason why it will become your death. That's the only reason why it will go into default. That's the only reason why they will take your tax return and your tax refund and all those other things. That's the only reason is if you allow default, death, and depression to overwhelm you. Now, there were times when I was depressed in my money situation, but I was never too depressed to pay attention to that student loan because I knew if I defaulted on my student loan, I knew that it would mean everything. Like I was not able to discharge it in bankruptcy. I was not able to get rid of it some kind of way. But guess what I did? The number one thing that I tell you to do when you're in a financial situation, I spoke up. I called the service center and I said, I cannot pay. That's what I said. Now, I started that process as soon as I graduated because I was really broke then. I was making $20,000 a year, married with a daughter. And you, let me tell you, we were living check to yesterday, not Monday. I was living check to yesterday. Okay. So I didn't have money for a student loan. So immediately I applied for my forbearance. I took some graduate classes, then I applied for deferment. Because while you are in school, then you are not required to pay your student loans. The difference between a forbearance and a deferment is this. During an approved deferment, your loans do not accrue any interest. During a forbearance, your loans probably will incur interest. So your non-subsidized student loans will definitely incur interest. And your subsidized student loans may or may not. It all depends on what kind of forbearance you get. So I was always in forbearance or deferment. Now, once I filed for bankruptcy in 1999 and I consolidated my student loans in 2000, I was still in either some kind of forbearance or deferment. I don't know what it was. All I know is I wasn't paying and they weren't looking for me because I communicated. I called them and I spoke to them. And so they put me in what was available. And I remember them saying then, well, you're going to accrue interest. I don't care. Let me tell you something. I cannot worry about money I don't have over a bill that you're going to say I can pay in 5 years or 10 years. I can't worry about that. I will deal with the world when it gets here. Now, this may seem crazy, but I'm telling you, this is how I did it. This is how I did it. This was my approach. So I finally pay off the student loan. I did not pay off the student loan. Let me repeat. I finally paid off the bankruptcy. I believe I paid the bankruptcy off in 2004. Okay. And I still didn't start paying the student loan. I still didn't pay it. Why? Because by that time, my one child had multiplied and become three children. Okay. three children. So even though I was making more money, as you all know, by that time I was living check to Monday. I was spending more money and I still didn't have any money. And quite frankly, now this may seem to be disrespectful. This may seem irresponsible, but the truth is I was more interested in buying a home. I was more interested in putting my children in private school. I was more interested in creating the lifestyle that I saw for my family. I was more interested in that than paying my student loans at that time. But I was still responsible because I was still communicating. And I was still thinking in my mind, okay, one day I'm going to make enough money to pay these student loans off. But right now, I'm going to pay attention to my family and my family's needs. And this is how much money I have. This is how much I'm going to spend. I'm going to keep the student loans in deferment. So student loans were still in deferment. Then comes 2008 and the housing market crashed. Boom. I put everything in bankruptcy. I gave back my car. I gave back my beautiful champagne Lexus. I gave it all back. Couldn't give those student loans away, but I kept them in deferment. 2008. By this time, I had already started to rebuild. My finances were in better shape. But by the time my house was upside down, I owed $500,000 on it. And it was only worth $100,000. No, let me repeat. I bought the house at $400,000. It was worth $500,000+ when I bought it. By the time the real estate market crashed, I owed $400,000+, almost $500,000, and it was only worth $100,000+, like less than, a little bit less than $200,000. I'm not paying for that. I'm not doing that. Matter of fact, take all these bills, okay? And let me call everybody. I called the IRS. They put me on a situation where I didn't have to deal with them for a while because they saw my bankruptcy. I called the student loan people. So I spoke up. Shame is not the game if you want to win in your finances. Stop being ashamed. Call somebody. Talk to somebody. I called Attorney Deidre Wood Stokes. She handled my bankruptcy. I called my friend who was in taxes. I called the IRS. Okay. I looked for the offer and compromise. I looked for everything. And they put my taxes in a non-collectible status. I'm just telling you the truth. So here I am with this student loan. And guess what? I'm still not paying it right now, but I'm also not in default. The harvest is here. The time is now. It's your season to win. I'm going to talk about how they got forgiven. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago. 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Yes, the harvest is here. The time is now, and I am living in it. Let me tell you, this last thing I had. So I had overcome all these different things, and God has been good, but I still had these student loans. But I wasn't worried about them, because let me tell you what I decided. I think it was an unconscious decision. But by 2008, after I filed bankruptcy, Chapter 7, which means I got rid of all my debt that was allowable, but you cannot discharge student loan debt, nor can you discharge IRS debt in bankruptcy. I called the IRS people how many times? Every time, all the time, as many times as I needed to. Every time I got on the phone with an IRS agent and told the truth. And that's what you do. You tell the truth. Do not start lying to the IRS. Okay, I told the truth. They asked for my bank statements. They asked for all these things. I sent it to them. They saw my bankruptcy. And every time I talked to somebody, I got closer and closer to what would become a non-collectible status, which meant you don't have any money. They saw it. I mean, I was on food stamps in 2008. Okay? I was on food stamps in 2008. All right? Now, these student loans, because that bankruptcy was going to be on my credit for 10 years, and I knew that I had to tread very lightly over the next 10-year period, I let the student loan stay in forbearance. Then I went to seminary in 2010. So my student loans were in deferment, which means they were no longer accruing any interest. Then I graduated from seminary. I went to Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, a division of Trinity International University, one of the greatest Christian institutions on the globe in Deerfield, Illinois. I finished magna cum laude, praise God, and those student loans were still sitting there. And I took out a few more student loans while I was doing that. By this time, I'm working in the entertainment industry. I'm running a company for Russell Simmons. I'm now running MC Lights businesses. And, you know, God is good. I'm living my dreams. But those student loans are still sitting on the side. By 2018, I had already consciously declared these student loans that I took out in 1990-something, starting in 1989 or whenever it was, these student loans that I took out, they're going to have to forgive them. Because now my children are in college, on their way to college, and my priorities are completely different now. So I have one choice to make when I get my new money. And this is what I want people to understand about new money. When you get new money, you've got to make a decision. Are you going to throw that new money at old debt, old baggage, old death, or new opportunities? So my new money, I was putting into new opportunities. And I was also believing that one day they were going to forgive these loans, because I'm no longer even looking at the interest anymore. And quite honest, I did not realize that it had gotten up to $132,000 until I just looked at the forgiveness paperwork. What? Who did they think was going to pay $132,000 for something that started out as $48,000 that you have allowed me? You have allowed me not to pay. You have given me permission not to pay. I didn't run away. I didn't change my name. I didn't move to Mars. I am here and you allowed me not to pay. And you think I'm about to pay you almost three to, oh no, baby, not me, not today, not Lynn Richardson. I was born at night, but not last night. So guess what? I'm going to keep these student loans in deferment and I'm going to wait on y'all to figure this out. Cause you all haven't figured it out yet, but I figured it out. It's unjust. Now, I've often said, if you have a $100,000 student loan, but you don't own a home, you got a mortgage with no house. If you got a $250,000 student loan with no, but you don't own a home, you got a mansion with no house. And I just do not believe the message that we received, go to school, get a good education, get a good job, was supposed to land us in this kind of debt. The system is flipped upside down. And when y'all get it right side up, I'll be standing here waiting with my deferment or my forbearance in hand. So by 2018, I kept the student loans in forbearance and deferment or whatever they were passing out. I signed up for it. By 2020, everybody's stuff stopped. So when 2020 rolled around, when the pandemic hit, I became inundated in practicing what I was preaching. So I was teaching people how to call their creditors and ask for a deferment and find out what was available. And so I did that for myself with all my businesses, with all my clients, with everybody, because I wanted to go through the process authentically. So when they said, you don't have to pay your student loans, I was like, great, wonderful. I had no intention on doing that anyway. Now, right now. Now, I have said once or twice, if I just, you know, get a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow or some really big substantial lump sum, and I just decide, you know what, I just want to get rid of this, then maybe I will. But I will do it after I have addressed my main priorities. And I had three children in college at the same time. Three children. Okay. So my oldest daughter graduated. Then my middle child graduated. Then my youngest child just graduated. And there was an inkling in the back of my head somewhere like, okay, maybe I'll look at the student loan. I said, look at it. I didn't say pay it. I said, let me look at it and see what's going on with it. And, you know, the summer and all this stuff has happened, and it's the 50th anniversary of hip hop, and we've been celebrating, and it's all been great and wonderful, and we've got a whole year of celebration happening. And something said, well, for me, it's the Holy Spirit said, girl, look in your email. I looked up the word forgiveness, and it said, your student loans have been forgiven. Come on now. Woo! I always believed it. Everything is possible for those who believe. Everything is possible for those who believe. The harvest is here. The time is now. It's your season to win. Don't give up now.
Give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits. Lynn Richardson and New Wealth University is giving 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program. The Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program will give you 2 full years of unlimited access to all of Lynn's online classes, books, boot camps, master classes, and webinars. So, give yourself the gift of wealth with no limits with 50% off on the Platinum Wealth Ambassador Program, available on LynnRichardson.com.
Yes, the harvest is here. The time is now, and I am living in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah is the highest praise, and I give God the glory all the time, but I am definitely giving him the glory for my personal testimony and the testimony of so many others. Now, let me just hold on for a minute, because I know that there are a lot of people out there whose student loans have not been forgiven. Hold on. One of my posts on social media, such a beautiful post, the person said that they were shouting for everybody else's blessings and still waiting quietly for their own. So I have been seeing people post these, you know, my student loans were forgiven. And at first, I wasn't sure if it was the truth. And then I saw a few people post and I was like, okay, this person I trust, so they must be telling the truth. And let me tell you, not once did I think to go check my own forgiveness situation. I don't know why, and let me just give you this little lesson in faith. What God has for you is for you. Now, another person posted on my social media website, on my social media page. Oh, the Supreme Court shut this down. Let me tell you something. God will open doors that no man can shut. God will open doors no man can shut. So with everything that's been going on about affirmative action, and I have my opinions about that, I'm going to talk about that. With this, my faith never wavered. You have to forgive my student loans. I took them out in the 90s. I consolidated them in 2000 at 48,000. Now with interest, it's 132,000. Under what system of justice is that going to stand? Not in God's. And I walk with him every day. So I'm not perfect, but I try to walk with him every single day. So for those of you who have not gotten your student loans forgiven, and for those of you who have not had your student loans, because mine were forgiven because of the 20-year rule, 20, 25-year rule, whatever it is, I want you to go to my website, asklynn.org. Just go to asklynn.org and we will get you in the student loan, you know, classes, and the student loan class is free. Okay. Go to asklynn.org. For those of you who are going to have to wait, and even without your student loans, okay, you are still struggling financially. You need help. Stop trying to do this by yourself. If you could do it by yourself, it would have already been done. Okay. And even if you can do it by yourself, why go through all the mistakes that I went through when I've gone through them and I'm showing you a clear pathway out? Get yourself in some classes. If some people are complaining about their student loans, but you're about to go spend however many $1,000s on the Beyonce concert or on the Drake concert or on the Hip Hop 50 weekend or on somebody else's concert, or you already spent the money. Some people are complaining about student loans and then will spend thousands of dollars on Christmas presents. Let me tell you, guilty of it all. I've been guilty of that stuff too. So I'm not criticizing. But what I am is declaring the truth. And the truth is, some say money talks, but I say money walks away from you quietly and you don't know where it went. It would be nice if a dollar said, I'm about to roll, bounce up out of here. And when you come find me, I won't be there. It would be nice if a dollar did talk, but it don't. It does not. Grammatically correct. Okay, so I want you to then get some help, all right? But get in the class at asklynn.org. My student loan was forgiven. All $132,000. Now, people say, well, are you going to owe some tax? I don't care what I owe on it. Just as long as it's not $132,000. Let me tell you something. You're not about to mess up my blessing with some bad news. Don't you hate when people come, you got some good news. You say, ooh, I lost weight. Then they say, oh, you too thin. Oh, you know, I graduated from college. Oh, they not giving out jobs. Oh, let me tell you something. Those are haters, naysayers, blockers, and crab barrel leg pullers. And I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to the people who are going to accept the blessing for what it is. Can I get an amen? Wherever you are, beat the table, put your hands up, jump around. If you at work, don't get fired. Okay. All right. So homes and loans was really going on. And I believed it. That's all I can tell you. People have been texting me, what was your strategy? My strategy was I knew they were going to figure it out. And I knew I was going to do my part along the way. And my part was to communicate. And my part was to stay in the system as long as they allowed me to stay in the system. Okay. So, you know, I have been blessed and so have many millions of other people. And you have a blessing coming your way. Why? Because the harvest is here. The time is now. It is your season to win. Don't turn that dial. We have to take a break. We'll be right back. WVON.
More of the Millionaires Roundtable coming up on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I'm your host, Lynn Richardson, and we are creating millionaires one family at a time, one day at a time, $1 at a time, and one dime at a time. And that means you. Now, of course, some people say, Lynn, well, what if they didn't forgive the student loans? Well, it looked like they were not going to. Guess what? I didn't worry about it. Let me help you all understand something. You ever heard the phrase, let go and let God? That's what I did. All right? You also know the Serenity Prayer. Now, if I cut it up a little bit, forgive me. But the Serenity Prayer basically tells you to, you know, learn to accept the things that you cannot change, change the things that you can, and then, you know, learn the difference between the two. That's essentially what it says. So the things that I can change is my involvement in something that I have no control over. I can change my involvement. I can click the button. I can blink my eyes. I can walk across. I can do whatever. And that's what I can do. So what I chose to do is sign up for the system that was available. And I chose to sign up to see what would happen. Now, then they come back and they say, well, we're not going to forgive the student loans. I can't change that. So I didn't worry about it. I was still in the system. And even though they said, student loan payments are going to start back in a few months and, you know, the whole pandemic, you know, break is over. Well, all right. Either I'll go on a monthly plan or not. I'll figure it out. I was even thinking about going to school. I'm not going to tell y'all which school I was going to. I'm still thinking about it. I was literally thinking about going back to school for a degree that I said before I was never, ever, ever going to get. But let's see how it goes. But anyway, I wasn't worried about it. Because let me tell you something. When you are in a moment of decision, when you are trying to get to the next level, and for me, I'm not really trying to get any place. God has been good to me. I'm living out dreams that are bigger than what I even thought were possible. But I have chosen peace. I have chosen peace over being pissed. Okay? I have chosen faith over frustration. I have chosen peace over panic. I have chosen faith over frolicking. I have chosen to just let things be. And to answer the question, what would have happened if 10 more years would have come by? Then I would have dealt with whatever it is in 10 years. And maybe it would have been 162,000 or maybe. But whatever it is, here's what I know for a fact. I was going to have the means, the will and the way to take care of what God has entrusted me with. And he entrusted me with the student loans. So I already know I'm going to have the will and the way. Why? Because I'm not frivolous. I'm not running around buying new clothes, new cars, new this, new that. But I am buying a new house. I'll tell y'all about that. It is homes and loans. What is going on? So get in class, ask Lynn.org. And, you know, understand that the harvest is here and the time is now, and it is your season to win. And let go and let God do what you can. Let him do the rest and stay tuned.
I'm financial expert Lynn Richardson. You may have seen me on Good Morning America giving financial advice. When you get my freedom package, you get the 21 days to financial freedom and how to start a home-based business. See you in class.
The harvest is here. The time is now. It is your season to win. And homes and loans, what's really going on? So the truth is, yes, loans are being forgiven. It is true. It is real. I am living and breathing and talking and receiving this blessing. And I am thankful, and I'm going to help. Let me tell you something. So here's what I'm planning to do. I'm going to pay it forward. Y'all think I've been helping people now? Let me tell you something. This kind of a blessing is way beyond, even though I could conceive it, to actually live in it. It's still surreal. Okay. But I have the paperwork. It is forgiven. And I have a couple more that are in there. They're going to be forgiven too. All right. They're going to be forgiven too. But this big one, the 132, the 48,000 that became 132,000, it has been forgiven. If it happened for me, it could happen for you. If I can overcome bad credit and bankruptcy and foreclosure and everything I've been through, so can you. If I can overcome living check to 2 o'clock, check to yesterday, check to Monday, so can you. If I can do it, anybody can do it, because I am the most unlikely suspect. I'm the most unlikely person to actually get it. Because let me tell you why. Because I thought I was smarter than I was. You ever been so smart that you keep making dumb decisions, and then you have to realize if you were really that smart, you would not be in these dumb situations? Now, I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just talking about myself. Okay. So if I could do it, and what I realized is if my intellect needed to match my actions, and my actions needed to reflect what I believed about my intellect. So if I can do it, anybody can do it. And that means you. Yes, you can do it. So go to asklynn.org. Now, homes. Yes, I'm buying a home. I'm moving to the ATL. Yes, 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 yes. Well, I'm still going to be in California because that's where my home base is. But I have been promoted. I've gotten another role, and I am the head of all development for one of our companies. And they are doing so many projects in Atlanta that we've got to have an office there. And I'm going to have to spend some time there. Okay. So the company is relocating me and, you know, my family, if they want to come, and if not, I'll be back and forth. But yes, I'm buying a home and in the ATL, and this is an exciting time. So let me tell you about that. Do not believe the hype about it's not a good time to buy a house. I put an offer on the house. I offered less than what they were asking for. And I asked for down payment assistance and closing cost money. Yes, I did. I sure did. Let me tell you something. I don't care how much money you have. You never too grown to keep more of your money that you already have in your pocket. Okay. So I'm going to talk more about that because I don't have a whole lot of time to deal with that. So you got to tune in to the next show or the next one or the next one. Just I'll tell you all when it's all happening. But homeownership is still the foundation for building wealth. It is your season to win. The harvest is here. The time is now. It's your season to win. And I want you to know that your faith, leading with your faith is going to help you in your finances.
You have been listening to the Millionaires Roundtable. I am your host, Lynn Richardson. It's WVON, 1690 AM, the talk of Chicago, the voice of the nation, our favorite radio station. I want you to follow me on social media at Lynn Richardson. Follow this show at Lynn Millionaire. Go and get help at asklynn.org because I want to help you take it to the next level. Guess what? I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.